You care about helping others learn and grow, and now you can make an even greater difference. The Ohio State University's fully online master's in applied behavior analysis prepares you to help learners with disabilities thrive. You'll develop the skills to use evidence-based interventions that enhance learning outcomes and foster independence, all in a flexible format designed for working professionals. With growing demand for board-certified behavior analysts, this online program helps you prepare for what's next without pausing your life. If you're ready to expand your impact, Ohio State is ready to support your next step. Visit go.osu.edu/behavioranalysis.
Welcome back to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You, a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. I'm Cynthia Yanoff, and as always, I'm joined by psychologist and author Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Dr. Ken, how are you doing?
I'm good, Cynthia. How are you?
I am good. I've decided as a mother of a younger child, and now I'm in my 50s, you know, like there are certain things I can no longer do. I've shut down some things. I'd like to start here. And everyone's like, oh, Cynthia started this with her counseling session. But I think this is just really, I'm giving you permission to say I'm not doing this anymore.
I want you to share. Just let it out.
I am. I'm laying down on a couch right now. I don't know if that's what we're supposed to do in therapy. But okay, here's what's happening. No longer can do Chuck E. Cheese. No.
Oh, wow. Okay, mm-hmm. I don't know that I ever did Chuck E. Cheese.
It's because you're a dad.
This is where my family will go, yeah, you did, but I don't remember. You will no longer go to a pizza place whose representative is a rat?
Right.
Wow. Okay. Yeah,
that's one. Here's the second. I'm no longer playing putt-putt golf.
Oh, now that's problematic. Why is that?
Because there ain't enough, I don't know, money in the world or fulfillment in my heart to stand on that and just watch it bounce off of every corner and all the, I can't do that anymore. Here's another one that's kind of seasonal, but as we're taping this, we just came out of Easter. I no longer will buy the little Easter egg decorating things and hold the wire hook. I can't. I don't have it in me anymore to hold an egg on that and help this kid balance it into the water and then
that's
flip
the pause
it somehow.
Thing, the,
yeah,
the,
no.
Yeah.
The vinegar stinks. Not gonna do it.
Yeah. Right. Well, this year, I can tell you, you don't have to. There's all kinds of new ways to do Easter. There is the Cool
the
Whip
thing.
Method. You color Cool Whip and you put it in and you pull it out and it doesn't look very good. Or you have that egg spinning thing that is pretty awesome. So, there's options. There's definitely options.
Well, here's the last one, and this is why I bring it all up. But I'm done with sleepovers.
And you're not going to go sleep over with your friends anymore?
Well, no, I'm going to. It's called a girls trip, and I'm very fond of that for myself.
Oh.
But I shall no longer host the sleepover for young children. And maybe not even when the youngest said child becomes a teen, because you know who? Nobody sleeps. Nobody sleeps, okay? The kids don't sleep. I don't sleep. Nobody sleeps, and I'm too old. And so I love that today we're talking about sleepovers, and obviously we're not talking about it from the perspective of a third grade child like I have, but we're talking
sleepovers with teenagers, exactly.
Yes.
Which is different.
So let's start with this. I mean, where do you land on that? Yes, no, or it depends.
Oh, you know where I'm going to land. Somewhere in the depends category, depending upon the age. But, you know, sleepovers have changed. They've changed. Did you do sleepovers when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So even in your age and then the 50 years before that, when I was a kid, we also did them. But I think what was the assumption then was that there was a shared community. You might go to a cousin's house where the parents, your parents had a decent feeling that, yeah, they probably do similar to us. Same thing for me. I stayed with friends from church and their families were similar to ours. That assumption now is much harder to make. Parents either don't know the other family as well, or even if they know them, they can't count on them to have had the same values. So that definitely has changed sleepovers with children. But that's another reason why I'm eager to talk about this with teenagers, because as we always talk about, the way you think about these things, sleepovers is one of them, with adolescents is and should be different from with children.
Yeah. Well, no lies told, and this may fall under the TMI, but I think I learned more sex ed at sleepovers in high school than I ever learned in my home. One house in particular, lots of conversations, lots of discussions, others' personal experience being shared. And I was like, wow, okay. So yes. That probably skewed me a little. As my older kids got into the adolescent years, I'm like, oh gosh. So let's just talk about this for a minute. Let's say that we've got an adolescent. Well, let me ask this first. Does it make a difference if it's a boy versus a girl in your mind?
I think in practically it does. Whether you think theoretically it should or shouldn't is different, but practically it does. You know, there's not evidence that more abuse happens on sleepovers than used to, but our awareness is way up mm-hmm. on that. And that awareness really for small children needs to be for boys and girls, but there definitely tends to be, it's not unusual for parents to have much more of a concern about girls and the potential of something abusive happening when they sleep over. So ironically, for all ages, sleepovers for girls tend to be kind of more important. Their girls are very social. They really want to bond together and so forth. So it can be more important even for girls in a way.
Yeah. Well, and I have a double standard, I think, in my mind, because when my kids were that age, my older ones, if my daughter wanted to, I'd be like, oh, yeah, of course, you know, all the girls are going to whoever's house and they're going to.
Right.
And if my son, I'm like, all right, what are y'all going to do? What's everybody up to? Just
I'm
tell
sure
me right
now. I resents that because yes, you were probably right. We did have usually plans to do something.
That's right. So let's start with like a family, like our adolescents want to spend the night at a family's home that we know we agree on family values. Yet, is it still in bounds to call said family and be like, hey, they're spending the night, just making sure we're on the same page, right? Like, I don't want them at that party, or I want them home by midnight.
Yep.
Or is this, as an adolescent, it's like, no, you go through your son or daughter and you have that discussion with them as opposed to the other family?
That's a great question. I would consider that. And there's many things, you know, in the book, we talk about a freedoms list and things that happen on a gradient or at age differences. So this would be one of them. It's not on the list, but it's one that parents should think about, is that there it's pretty reasonable for a young adolescent, you still want to know who the parents are, and I need to talk to them. Oh, but everyone's going over there, and that's great. I do need to talk to have that mother or father call me at a certain age. But like everything else, try to pick an age where you can honestly say, listen, at this age, we won't do that anymore. Whether it's, I don't know, junior in high school, where sleepovers don't happen as much anyway. But certainly it's not uncommon for a 13-year-old, 14-year-old, sorry, I still need to know who these parents are. But it helps if you can add that what's coming is that there will be a point where I don't have to know.
Yeah, yeah. What if you love the family, that's not a safety issue, you're not concerned about that, but you just disagree on something like, I don't know, phones. Like, you
phones,
know, having
yes.
the phone upstairs the whole time. Or because, you know, girls and boys, social media can, I mean, there's a lot of other things they can get into, but social media or being mean or bullying or what,
right.
all the things. Is that something, is that worth the battle to say, you know, I need to hear from them that no phones are going to be upstairs?
See, that's a great, I'm glad we're talking about that. That's a perfect example. So let's say you're a family that is able to kind of, now that you know you're doing it right, we have a seventh grader, an eighth grader that still has a dumb phone, and she knows the smartphone is coming by ninth grade. We've told her, whatever. But she doesn't have a smartphone, and she's going to those friends, and those two girls both have smartphones. Should we, you know, try to somehow get where that environment matches ours? Or, and I would say, and this is a great example, no, this is a really important time to, with teenagers, you're not just raising them, you're training them.
Yeah.
And so that would be a very good opportunity to sit down and say, well, we know that so-and-so has her own smartphone. Does that bother you? Because especially when you're over there overnight, I think she has that in her room the whole time. And really talk to your teenager about their own standard. So if you think about it, a young child, you want the, hopefully the home that they're staying in allows and disallows the same things that you do. Because you expect that your kid, except for the occasional being naughty, understands they have to follow rules. With a teenager, now you have a separate issue, which is that house may allow or disallow things, and my teenager may be dying to do the thing that we hope they wouldn't, like be on a smartphone. In that case, I would absolutely say they should go. It's one night, you know. They go to the place that is not doing the thing you're doing. It's not like they're handing out cigarettes or something. So, and that's a good chance to talk to your teenager about why, you know, how does she feel about this limit? Is that embarrassing? You know, because obviously you'll be able to do a lot on that phone when you're over there, and be able to. Your teenager needs to know that you understand other adults may not agree. You're preparing this teenager for life, not just keeping them safe. So I would absolutely say in that example, they watch things that you don't allow at home, you know, but you just know that they pick whatever they want to watch. That's a perfect opportunity to talk to your teenager and not restrict them from doing it, but to get their own sense of how they feel about that rule. That's a huge example of a difference between a 9-year-old, say, and an 8th grader.
Yeah. I was thinking of a situation that one of my older kids had in high school, and it wasn't a sleepover per se, but it was an after party from one of the dances. And so they all went to this after party, and the parents in charge ended up going out with some friends during the after party and drinking. And so they came back, and the kids were not drinking at the home, but the parents came back. Well, the kid of the parents that were drinking basically told all of our kids, they've had too much to drink. I don't think they should drive y'all back to your sleepover house.
Great, which was experience.
So stand up.
Yeah. Okay. Is that a failure on your part because you didn't make sure, or was that a valuable moment of experience for your young adult teenagers?
I mean, I think so. I went and picked up all of the kids that were going to this sleepover, and I picked them all up. Well, the parents were unhappy. They were like, "We're fine. We don't need you micromanaging." And I was like, "If I'm told that there's been too much drinking and they're uncomfortable, I'm coming." So I picked them up, and so we had the whole car ride back to discuss, like, one, that's a great, I mean, good call. Don't get in the car if people are drinking.
And yeah, exactly. Good for you.
If you have to buck authority of adults, then you're going to buck authorities. And we're going to show up. And nobody's getting punished for the fact you're in a bad situation. So I would say, like, I like that there was 1,000 opportunities that came out of one kind of unfortunate moment.
Right.
And so I'm glad that we didn't just say, well, we don't go to the after parties. I didn't call the parents.
Exactly.
I don't, you know.
Exactly. We kind of overvalue safety in parenting nowadays. And that really shows up with teenagers. It's not terrible with children if you can succeed in it. But we do tend to think that our job, no matter what age, is to make sure that little one never got exposed to that. I think that, just as you said, that's it's a great opportunity.
And a great opportunity for kids that were going to college within a few years to, I mean, they're going to have these all the time. Are we getting
that's
in cars
where
people are not? And so, I like that now looking back, it felt like a nightmare in the moment, but looking back, I'm like, man, we had some really great conversations around that. So let's talk about those situations where our kids want to go spend the night at a house where we know we're probably not going to agree on values. Does it depend on what kid you're sending? Because I feel like with one of my kids, one of my three, I could be like, you can go to any house you want. I'm not worried. With another one, I'd be like,
great. However,
you can go only if I go with
you. That brother of yours, he's an idiot. He can't. Yeah, whatever. Right. That's a really good question. You know, the basic answer is no. I think you should try to keep things at age level.
Okay.
But I would say that, because again, there's an important difference between giving the message that with our teenagers, the nicer one, the one that fools us better and we think is doing everything we think is right, gets more freedom. That's privilege, not freedom. So, but what about the kind of foolish young adult or the teenager that I want to be realistic here. You know, he's more likely to jump along with what the group is doing. I think in some cases it's not unreasonable to actually apologize and say, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to ask you to have him over here. Because, you know, the last time you did this, but I would do it sort of apologetically in the sense of, again, you always want to be, as a Feeding the Mouth parent, you're trying to always be on the side of, we are trying to leave mm-hmm. you alone. We're trying to leave these things to you. But the better thing to do is to actually have the hard conversation of, listen, you know, you're 16, so you can go back over there. I mean, it's your choice. But number one, do you think that's a good idea? Because number two, I could be wrong. This is the advice-giving part. You start with, listen, this is just me, but I, and just be honest, I kind of think you turn into an idiot when you're around those guys. And you know, and I'm sorry to say that, but that's how I see it. That's the advantage of having given freedoms enough so you can really communicate adult to adult. You should be able to have more opportunity to say things that are actually surprisingly kind of honest, but you've what we say in the book, you've lopped off the front and back end of a bitter pill. You've started by saying, you know, this is just me, maybe I'm just too worried, but you know, you did the last two times you were over there, that one time you didn't get caught, but that was dumb, and then this other time, so I think you're at high risk of getting in trouble this time, something happening, what do you think? And if they're all, you know, well, I'm fine. Remind them. No, you can go. You're too old for me to tell you you can't. I wish I could, but you're too old. But I'm just telling you how I feel. Most of the time, if they, again, this is the part that if you haven't sat with teenagers for 35 years, you wouldn't realize how paranoid they can be mm-hmm. about not what you're saying. They're not hearing what you're saying. All they're hearing is they're about to say something. They're about to make me. You're going to make me. You're going to make this ridiculous. So you really want to, when you've eased that up a bit, you should be able to have the conversation that you think, well, I don't want to hurt their little self-esteem. This is not a child. This is a young adult where you can say, I think you're impulsive, dude. And when you get over there, you do stuff you don't think it through. And that's not powerless. If anything, it is more powerful than having another battle where, you know, it's just my parents don't let me do stuff and they don't even realize or see the thing you're trying to get across. So I think there could be a time you'd have to apologetically say, I'm sorry, I can't let you. But you would really want to try to do it the other way, which is the real honest conversation mm-hmm. with an adult that you have assured in advance, this talk will end in you going. I am not about to restrict that. But, and then, you know what I mean?
Totally. And I think it's easy. We tend to think the boys too, but I think about our girls too, that want, many of them want so badly to be liked and to be included
True.
In the group and, you know, and are willing to compromise things in order to be included. And I think that becomes an issue too, especially because girls tend to have more sleepovers. And if you have,
yeah.
If you have a girl who's bucking to get in a friend group that, you know, she feels like she has to do certain things. I mean, I think it goes both ways. Let's talk yeah. about, though, if they're going to a house, they want to go to a house that you know you don't agree on things. Is it inbounds? Your child's like, or your young adult is like, I'm going. You know, you said you were not going to say no. This is an older adolescent. Is it inbounds to call that parent? And I'm thinking of some specific things. Like, let's talk even, like, drinking. I mean, we've all heard it. I mean, I have, or, you know, the philosophy of, well, I'd rather them drink in my house than somewhere else. And I'm like, I would rather them be 21.
Sorry to laugh at that. Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
So, I mean, is it in bounds to say, okay, well, if you're going, then I'm going to call and talk to the parents. And then, I mean, then are we a weirdo? Because we're calling, we're like, hey, just FYI, you remember the drinking age, right? Or, I mean, how do you handle that?
Well, again, I think it gets back to, are you talking about calling a parent with a teenager that really wants you to not call that parent or
yes.
not?
Yes.
You know, because, you know, I'm sure you had this. I've seen especially some very cool mother and daughter relationships where they respected each other, where you could even have an arrangement. You're like, well, do you want me to call and act like I'm a real nervous mom and you can roll your eyes later and so forth? But, you know, you want me to check on that? You know, almost an arrangement, you know, where uh-huh. I'm willing to play the over-involved parent if that helps you. But I think in that circumstance, yeah, if you're actually in a circumstance where this older teenager wants to go over to their house and again, I assume we agree, a parent that has a drink That's not something that is putting your kids in danger. If you have reason to believe that this parent will be intoxicated and somehow a danger, then by the time your teenager is older, I certainly would expect, doesn't your teenager know what you mean? You know, like if you're the only one going, I'm uncomfortable with that. And the teenager's like, it's fine. And, you know, they're funny when they're drunk. You have a teenager that does not get the danger that could be involved in that. So the bigger issue there is, why is your teenager not still wanting to go over there? But in that circumstance, I think that could be an exception. I would just be careful about how you get your information. You know, there's a real network that will say, I think they, you know, do Satan worship over there at night. And you're like, well, I don't know if that's really what's going on. So if there is a real risk, why do you have a teenager that does not know that and doesn't know how to respond to that? So that's really what I think is the issue.
Yeah, I assume best practice is just to post on Facebook a question if anyone thinks this family's off the rails and just kind of see where it falls.
This is why you're in therapy with me. This is important.
I thought that I was just here to co-host, or not even co-host, just to be the sidekick. But it turns out this is therapy. Okay.
All the listeners knew what this really was.
They did. Okay, excellent. Let's talk about when your kid wants to have everybody over. And listen, I'll tell you what. The biggest misnomer out there when you have younger kids is all these people that are like, I'm going to have the cool house. I want everybody at my house. I'm going to tell you what happens with that. There's some, and I love them in the Lord, but there's some jerky kids out there. And then all the jerks are at your house. And so my question is this. What do you do about when your child wants to have the sleepover and you just don't love the kids? And I don't mean you don't love their personality. Like, they're destructive, either at your home, maybe their words are such that you're like, that's not how we talk in this house. It's not how we treat adults. They're mean to siblings. There's a whole host of things that can happen. What do we do in that situation? Because I would rather them be at my house, but would I?
Well, again, that's a great example. I think it's very different if it's a child or a teenager. For children, you might even think about it as an opportunity to say, well, we say thank you in this house. I mean, if you want to be that way, fine, whatever.
I do want to be that way. Good to know.
I'll bet you are. Yes, you are. Kidding. Did you say yes, ma'am? I think I need to hear a yes. Anyway, but with a teenager, I think there's sort of two levels to that. The one is the kid that is more and more likely, basically kind of entitled, like grabs stuff, just runs off, does not say thank you, all that. And if you have the right kind of communication with your teenager that you should be having by now with freedom and so forth, what would be really cool is that you and your teenager can lock eyes and both kind of roll your eyes at, wow, that wasn't very, but we're not going to make a thing out of it. It's almost like we're embarrassed for this, you know, poorly socialized young adult. On the other hand, if they have a friend that is absolutely disrespectful to you, and I mean blatant, like, I don't know, orders you around like, hey, get out of here, we're talking, or something, or take stuff without asking, whatever, then I think that's a whole different issue. That is about respect for you. And your first step would be take your kid aside. You always want to try to maintain the respect of your own kid. They're the one that, it's not your job, it's their job. Hey, those kids are up there, and I already told them they can't have food up there, and they took all their stuff up there. So I'm sorry, but I need you to do something about that. And give your teenager the chance to take care of that. And if your teenager won't, then that's the issue is, wow, okay, or these your friends or your masters? Like, what's up with that? Again, we're training your young adults. This is not mainly keeping them safe. But then lastly, the second level would be, there is such a thing as saying, yeah, I think it's great for you to have that girl over. That other girl, I'm afraid, I don't want her at my house anymore. She broke that thing. We pretty sure she stole that whatever. And so, and you didn't do anything about it. And so I'm so sorry, but I think it's great you're friends, but she can't come over and stay the night because of that. That hopefully would be very rare, but it's certainly important for parents to know. I've had parents that felt like to be the cool family, which apparently You know, you've experienced, I've gone through that 100 times. Mm-hmm. Every time you're the cool house, that means somebody else that wanted to be the cool house isn't, and yours is. Mm-hmm. So don't always try to be the cool house. But secondly, yeah. I've seen parents kind of have to, you know, be diffident and let kids behave whatever, because above all, we want them to still want to come over here. Well, that's that Mean Girls movie. You don't want to be that where yeah. you're doing whatever. So there is that level. Your first line, though, is to take your kid aside very quietly and say, I'm so sorry. But, you know, I told you, they can't do that, and they're doing it. So I need you to take care of that. And then secondly, you can hold on to the line of, I'm sorry, that kid's not allowed here. You heard what he said to your dad, and we don't allow that.
You had me at the Mean Girls reference, Dr. Ken. That's.
Does anyone even know that movie anymore? Oh my, I think it was, yeah written by Tina Fey. Such a great, there was so much fun in that movie.
Yeah.
Especially the line, she doesn't even go here. I love that line.
On Wednesday we wear pink, or that may not be the right day.
Yeah. Something.
Okay. So then the other question I have is, so if the kids are at our house, you know, for the sleepover, and we don't allow phones upstairs, I'm assuming your answer is going to change depending on the age. We're not talking like alcohol. Like, right. We're just not, I mean, no, we smoke in pot in the game room next to the fourth grader's room or whatever, but we're talking like preferences, that we have, versus legalities. Do we enforce those or not with other kids in our home?
Okay, I think, that's one of those where the what you're aiming for is saying, hey, I think you told me that his parents let him have his phone in his room all night, and, you know, we don't do that. Are you going to be cool with saying to him, hey, let's put our phones down here? Oh, no, I don't want to do that. Is it embarrassing or whatever? Because, you know, the reason for that is that you guys don't really need to be looking at screens if you're going to visit with each other. Hopefully you've gotten something across. I've known a lot of teenagers now that begin to get this, that they might agree with that. We're keeping it downstairs. But if they're like, oh, that would be humiliating, then you really could. I mean, I have no problem. Again, it's one night. It's not like you're handing out cigarettes. So yeah, you could say, well, okay, then do you want to keep yours overnight too, or do you want to just put yours down and then just not say anything to him? Try to make a plan that works, but each of these things lets you know a very important element of the answer to all these things of teenagers. Is my teenager on board with this too, or is this just me? And that's hugely important with teenagers.
Yeah. Let's end with this. This whole discussion is a good problem to have, based on what you tell me about today's adolescents and young adults who would rather be in the basement on video games or whatever the things are. So this is a good problem to have in the big scheme, right?
Well, or I get with my friends every afternoon. Really? Where do y'all meet? On Call of Duty. Okay, that's not getting with friends. And literally, there are many teenagers that don't even know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. This is three-dimension. This is real life. That's not. So, yeah, you're right. I would definitely encourage that as a good problem to have. And don't be afraid of the fact that, part of a sleepover is having a certain sense of freedom that I'm here in the room or upstairs or whatever, camping out in the backyard. That's real rugged. I'm doing this without as much supervision from parents. And I think parents know that. Try to not be there. Your teenagers will definitely let you know. Yeah, if I, you know, I think I'm like one of those dads that tries to be funny around my kids' friends when they were teenagers.
You're the guy.
And I was. There's a line in Good Morning Vietnam. Deep in my heart, I know I'm funny. Because they didn't think so, and so. Try to just leave more independence to them. Let them have some time
Amy
with their
Poehler.
Friends.
Don't be Amy Poehler.
Is that alcohol? No, but do you want some? She's the cool mom. Ugh.
Absolutely. All right. It's a good word on sleepovers. Thanks, Dr. Ken.
Good to see you. Thanks.
You too.